Today's daf is Beya Daf Yud Aleph, and we are 18 lines from the top of Daf Yud Amid Beis, the two dots, Shnayim U'matza Shloisha Asur. Today's daf has been learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Chaya Moshe Ben Frumit, Chaya Moshe Ben Esther, and Tamar Bas Chasida from Arifka. Today's daf is also being learned Ilui Nishmas, Yeshua Ben Binyamin Alevi, and Ilui Nishmas, Miril Ben Reb Moshe. So we're continuing to discuss Hilchas Yontif, specifically the several machlekesin between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel within Hilchas Yontif. So one thing is starting to emerge, and that is that if you spent Yontif in the house of someone that was a member of Beis Shammai, and you spent Yontif in the house of someone that was a member of Beis Hillel, the two Yomim Toivim would be very, very different. We've seen machloikesin already that we can't fully appreciate because the world has simply changed so much since these Mishnayos and these Gemaras were recorded. However, as we're going to move along here in Masechtas Beya, we're going to see machloikesin that even we can relate to a little bit better. But either way, we've been discussing a specific halacha with regards to someone that prepared oifos. He wants to eat them on Yontif. In order to eat oif on Yontif, you would have to prepare it first. Otherwise, the oif would be considered muktza. So is an oif muktza or is it not muktza? Well, it depends. If you prepared it, then it's not muktza. If you didn't prepare it, then it is going to be muktza. And the Mishnah talked about a whole bunch of different cases where somebody before Yontif, he went to his shayvach and he prepared the oifos, the doves, pigeons that he's going to want on Yontif, but when he came on Yontif to actually get the food, something had changed. It wasn't exactly the way he left it. And the Mishnah had a whole bunch of cases. The first case was Zimein Shchayru Matzah Levanim. He prepared doves that were one color. He came back and he found other colors. He prepared two and he came back and he found three. So the Mishnah said in all those cases, the halacha is it's going to be Yasser. So we're going to begin by explaining the line in the Mishnah that says, Shnayim u'matza shloish asurim. Again, somebody prepared his doves before Yontif. That's what he is going to be eating. And he had prepared two. He came back and he found three. So what's this third bird doing here? And the fact that there's a third bird when he only prepared two, is that somehow a gilui that maybe even the other two are not the ones that he prepared? So the Gemara says that the truth is we don't even have to clarify so much. This halacha of Shnayim u'matza shloish asurim is simple because manav shach, the Gemara says. It's for sure a problem. There's no way you can eat it because if you assume that you prepared two, you found three. So all three are not the three that you prepared. That means all three are muktza. So obviously you wouldn't be able to eat them. And even if you don't want to go so far, even if you don't want to assume that all three are different, meaning you prepared two, you found three. The two that you prepared are the two that you prepared. Those two are mukhan, they're not mukta. It's only the third one that's mukta. But at the end of the day, there's one that's mukta. So you have two that are not mukta, you have one that's mukta. How are you going to eat it? At the end of the day, one of it is a problem. And because one is a problem, you can't eat them. Now, Tosis asks the obvious question. Top Tosis on the Amid. V'in Toimar, filavato beruba. What do you mean? If two are good and one is not good, isn't that bitl beruba? If somebody has three sandwiches, two are kosher, one is not kosher. Midday rice, chad bitrei batal. The two that are kosher overwhelm the one that's not kosher. Mevatel that one beruba. And the halach is that you're allowed to eat all three. Now, it's a shayla. Could you eat them all at the same time? Does it have to be bezachar zeh? This is a major machloikis, Rosh and the Rajba. When you learn the sugyas of basav v'cholav and Haruvois, that's a very, very big deal. But for sure, you're allowed to eat one or two, and maybe even three, as long as you eat them b'zachar zeh. Our Mishnah seems to say, asurim, they're all asur, you can't even take one. If one of them is a problem, why don't you say bitl b'roiv? And Tosfos says two terutzim. One teretz Tosfos says is, a bal chai can't become batal. And being that over here we're dealing with a live bird, a live anything can't be batal. A sandwich can be batal. But a live organism cannot be bought. Inami, Tosfos says, what is the problem with the one bird that wasn't prepared? It's muktzah. Muktzah is only aser on Shabbos and on Yontif. But after Shabbos and Yontif, muktzah is not a problem anymore. Which means muktzah is a davar sheyeshloi matir. Just like we spoke about in the beginning of the perek, be'ah shenol de b'yontif is a davar sheyeshloi matirim. Muktzah is a davar sheyeshloi matirim. Davar sheyeshloi matirim afilu be'elef loy batol. And for that reason, there's not going to be bittul roi. But either way, the Gemara says this is easy. This is from the few easy things in today's daf. This is very, very straightforward. That if you prepare two and you came back and you found three, for sure you can't eat it. Because one of them is definitely muktzah. Once one is muktzah, then they're all a problem. Bittul b'roiv, Tosfos says, you don't say bittul b'roiv. Zok de Mishnah Vayter. Shloisha, let's say you prepared three. Umatzah shnayim, and then you came and you found two. So the halacha is mutarim, they're going to be mutar. Now, just the basic setup of this case is very, very different. Over here, you prepared three birds. These three birds are 100% mutar to eat. It's kosher, it's not muktzah, you prepared it before Yontif. You came and you found two. So there's two possibilities. One possibility is that the two that you have are from the original three. One of them flew away, one of them walked away, but you do have two of those three. Those two were prepared. As a result, you have no problem. Or you can say, oh, 1 second, I prepared three. I came back, there's two. Something's off. Something's a little fishy, right? What's going on here? As a result, maybe this is not the original three. And if this is not the original three, then we have to assume they're gone. These two are new ones, and as a result, maybe they're all going to be a problem. So what did the Mishnah say? Shloisha umatzah shnayim mutarim, it's going to be mutar. Meaning we assume choice A. We assume that the two are of the original three. One of them happened to have flown away. As a result, these two are for sure going to be muktzah. But the Gemara says, my timer, why do we assume that? Shouldn't we think, hani inu ninu, v'chad minayu azal alma? So the Gemara says, the reason is, hani inu ninu is the terrace. Because we assume that the two are of the original three, and one of them flew away, therefore it's going to be okay. But the Gemara says, Leim Masis and Rabbi Vilei Rabbanan, that at first glance, this assumption that we're making in our Mishnah would seem to be totally in a Machloikis Tanam, a Machloikis Rabbi and the Rabbanan. So what's this Machloikis Rabbi and Rabbanan? And if it sounds familiar, Psochim Daf Yud. The Tanya, we learned to the Brisa, Niach Manu Matzah Masayim, if somebody had a mana's worth of Mais and Sheni, he had it sitting in a drawer, he comes one day, and lo and behold, it's his lucky day, umatzah masayim. There's not $100 there. He found masayim, he found $200. So the halach is chulon umaisen sheni murav and zebezeh divrei Rebbe. We assume that 100 of the 200 that he found is the original maisen sheni, and the other $100 that he found is chulon. There's no reason to assume it's maisen sheni. Most money in the world is not maisen sheni. Called the parish, meruba parish. So we assume the original mana is maisen sheni, obviously. But this additional mana that he found, that we're going to assume is chulon, which renders the $200 a taruvois of $100 ma'isa sheni, $100 chulin. Azoy hal Rebbe, v'chacham ma'im v'chacham margi. They said akoil chulin. No, we assume that everything is chulin. Why? You left $100 a ma'isa sheni. Well, you found $200. So obviously this is different money. The $100 must be somewhere else. The $200 that you found now is something else. The $200 that you found, there's no reason to assume it's ma'isa sheni. Because again, most money in the world is not ma'isa sheni. So call the parish meruba parish. So it's not 100 maisa sheni, 100 chulin, but rather it's going to be $200 worth of chulin. We don't need this case. What we need is the next case. What if somebody left $200 and he found $100? He left $200 of maisa sheni and he came back, he found $100. Mana munach umana mutal divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, okay, you had $200 of maisa sheni. You came back, you found $100. We're going to assume the $100 that you found is $100 of maisa sheni. Chum say, no. Being that you left 200 and you came back and you only found 100, we assume the 200 that you left is not here anymore. This 100 is a new 100. As a result, it's going to be chulin. So we have a machloikis Rebbe and the Chacham, and we have two, but we need the second. And that is somebody left $200 of Maisa Sheni money someplace. He came back and he found $100. Do we assume that $100 is Maisa Sheni? Do we assume it's chulin? Rebbe says we assume it's Maisa Sheni. He left 200, 100 is gone, you left with 100. The Chacham say no, we assume that the whole $200 is gone, and the $100 that you have over here is going to be chulin. At first glance, what does the machloikis seem to be? If I leave two of something and I find one of them, Rebbe says, we assume the one is one of the original two. The Chachamim say, no, you left two, you found one, that two is gone, and this is a whole new one. If that's the case, says the Gemara, what did our Mishnah say? Somebody prepared three birds and he came back and he found two. Mutarim. Why? Because we assume the two are of the original three. We don't assume that the three are gone and this is a new two. The Gemara says, isn't that Mamish Shitas Rebbe? Isn't that Mamish Deleik Rabbanan? So the Gemara says, Lema Masnis and Rebbe, Hiva Olay Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, that when you leave $200 in Maaseh Sheni, you come back, you find $100, we assume that's Maaseh Sheni. So we assume that the one that you have is of the original two. Oh, I understand the Mishnah. You prepared three birds, you found two, the two are of the original three, therefore they're not going to be considered Muksa. But according to the Rabbanan that hold, that if you have 200 and you find 100, we assume it's a new 100, and therefore in that sugya you could be mekel, you could assume the $100 that you found is chulin. Well, over here then you have to be machmer, because you have to assume that the two birds that you found are not of the original birds that you set aside. As a result, they're going to be muksa. But the Gemara says, no, if you will tell me Rabbanan, you don't have to say that. It's true, it sounds very nice, and lema masnisin kirebi is certainly a solid havamina, but at the same time the Gemara says it's certainly not for sure that way, because ha'itmar Allah. Because in fact, there was a comment that was made on our Mishnah by two Amayra, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. The Amri Travayo, they both said, Chani Gaizalos, Hayo Vasuyin Ladadas. Birds are different because birds move. And even Gaizalos, that are young birds, so maybe they don't fly, but Asuyin Ladadas, at the very least, they move. They can get from point A to point B. And as a result, over here, we assume that originally there were three. One of them cross the street, and as a result, now you're left with two. But the point is, because birds get around, so it's for that reason we're going to assume that the two that you have are of the original three. Where did that one go? It walked away, but money doesn't walk. And because it doesn't walk, so it's for that reason, if you set aside $200 and now you found $100, so what do you mean, one of the $100 bills decided to take a stroll? Obviously, that can't be. Must be, it was taken away. Well, if the 100 was taken, probably the 200s were taken. And as a result, the 100 that you have is a whole different $100 bill. So the Gemara says that you could say, really, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbanan by money, which doesn't walk. Over there, the Rabbanan said their Shita. That must mean this is a whole new $100 bill. However, as it relates to Gozalis, that get around, so it couldn't be you started with three, one of them walked away, and therefore you have to. Who said this Teretz? The names are going to matter. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar the Amri Travai. So two Amiram, Rabbi and Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar was the Talmud, after Rish Lakish, in the conversation of the second most famous Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, is definitely Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Rebbe and Talmud, they both said in unison, they agreed that the reason you don't necessarily have a tzushtel between the Machlekes Rebbe and the Rabbanon regarding the Maaseh Sheni money in our Mishnah, is because there's a fundamental difference between Gozalos and between Shekels. Even those very, very nice teretz that the Gemara just gave. But why do we have to give that teretz? And the Gemara is going to ask that one of the two Amayram, either Rabbi Yoich and Rabbi Elazar, we don't know who, but one of the two Amayram should not have had to have given this teretz. He could have said even a more pashta teretz. Now it sounds like the Gemara gave a pashta teretz. But the Gemara is going to say it's even a more pashta teretz that either Rabbi Yoich and Rabbi Elazar could have given. And the kash is that Rabbi Yoich and Rabbi Elazar both gave this teretz, and one of the two should not have had to have given this teretz. We have a kasha. So what is that? Because we had a comment that was made by the same Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar regarding the Braisa related to the Maaseh Sheni money. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both commented, but here they didn't make the same comment. Chadam one said b'shnei kisa machloikis, that the machloikis Rebbe and the Rabbana was talking about where there were two kisa. So the $200 bill, so to speak, that this person had a Maaseh Sheni money, they were in two different wallets. He had two wallets, each one had a money in it, and that's what he had sitting in a drawer. And he came back and he only found one. It was over there, it was machloikis Rebbe and the Rabbana. But if it was one kisa, they'd be called chulin. Everybody would agree that it's chulin. Meaning, if you had two kisin, it's over there that Rebbe said that we assume one of the kisin were taken away, but the other kiss is still there. That other kiss was Maaseh Sheni, because both of them were Maaseh Sheni. So assume it's going to be Maaseh Sheni. But let's say a person had one kiss, and in that one kiss, that one pocket, that one wallet, he had $200. And now he comes back, and he sees that he only has $100. Everybody would agree that if the money was taken, all of the money would have been taken. And must be this is a whole nother dollar. But the other Amir said, not true. The machloikis was dafkin b'kisechot. Avo b'shnei kisin, if it was two kisin, divrei akol manamunich, manamutol. Everybody would agree that we assume the other one is Maaseh Sheni. So we had a machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. I had to understand the machloikis, Rebbe and the Rabbana. One said the machloikis is dafka b'kisechot, and the other one said that the machloikis is dafke b'shnekis. And so the Gemara says like this, Bishlam the mandam b'shnekis and machloikis, Bishlam according to mandam, that said that the machloikis Rebbe in the Rabbanon was regarding someone that had $200 of Maaseh Sheni money, and they were in two different kisin. Hainu the itzmich l'shnui ha'chashani gazol l'shnui basun l'dat. So I understand the kasha, and I understand this teretz that we had to give. because the three gezalos are the equivalent of the two kisin. And if the Rabbanan say, even by two kisin, that we assume that the one kiss that's still there is a new kiss, it's not from the original shnei kisin, then by the birds you would have to assume the same thing. The Mishnah says that the birds that you have are mutar, and we assume they are from the original birds, it only shims with Rebbe, it doesn't shim with the Rabbanan. But Elul Mandami, here's the punchline, because Echad Machloik is, but according to Mandami, that says that the Machloik is Rebbe and the Rabbanan was Davka because Echad, Abba B'Shnei Kisin, Divrei HaKol, Manam Munach, Manam Mutal. But when it comes to two Kisin, everybody agrees, if you had two wallets, each wallet had $100, they were both my Shnei, you come back and you find one, for sure it's the original one. It was two wallets, one must have been taken away, the other one wasn't. Well, if that's the case, then what's the whole kasha? Then this Mishnah should stem with Rebbe, and it should stem with the Rabbanu, because our Mishnah is talking about we had three birds. That's the equivalent of the two kisin. They're individual entities. So lovely, the Shnuya Aloha Amrit Pishnei Kisin, Loi Pligi. So why did Rebbe Yechim, Rabbi Loza, have to give a whole fancy teretz? Shani Goizolois, Hoyo, Umedadois. At the end of the day, the kasha doesn't even, again, it's a good teretz, but the kasha doesn't start. The kasha doesn't start to a better teretz than a good teretz. So Frank the Gemara, why did they have to give such a teretz? Why didn't they just say, what kind of kasha is this? And again, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both explained our Mishnah to answer this question, Shani Goizolois, Hoyul Vasuyin Ladadois. The Gemara's kasha is, either Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar did not have to give this teretz. Because really, this teretz of the Gemara is totally in whether b'shnei kisin machloikis or b'kis echad machloikis. But according to the Mandama that b'kis echad machloikis, but b'shnei kisin, everybody agrees, manam munach, manam mutal, then you don't need this teretz. And either Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar held that b'kis echad machloikis. And we don't know who, but one of the two did not have to give this teretz. Yet both of these Amiran gave the teretz. That's the Gemara's kasha. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says that because of this, we're going to have to make a little bit of an aikimta in our Mishnah, and a little bit of an aikimta in the Braisa, and let's see if we can reconcile this. Hacha begoizolos mikusharim, v'kisen mikusharim askin. La'olam, you'll tell me that the Meiram held that our Mishnah is talking about where these goizolos, they were tied to each other, meaning they're obviously separate entities. Each goizol, each dove is a separate bird, but at the same time, they were tied together. And the kisen of the Braisa, of the Machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan, are talking about as well when they were Mikusharim. What then is the Svara to be Mechalik between the Goizolois and between the Kisin? So the Gemara says, Goizolois Menatchi Yahadadi. Goizolois are Menatchi Yahadadi, meaning they can break away from their leash. And as a result, there's a svara to say that maybe one of them got away and the other two that are remaining are the original two. As opposed to kisin le menatchi adadi, the money is not going anywhere. And because the money is not going anywhere, so it's for that reason, we look at them and we say that must be the original money is gone and this money must be new money. What's Rebbe going to say? Rebbe, again, now that we just made an akimta that the machloik is between Rebbe and the Rabbanan is talking about with a tie together, and Rebbe says, you still say manamunach manamuto. So how's Rebbe going to explain? The kisin nami zimnin de misakil kit. Sometimes the money can get away as well. Why? So Rashi says, because sometimes niter hakesha shalohem umisparek mielof. Sometimes on its own, it somehow unravels, and as a result, it's possible that one of the manas got away and the other one didn't. But either way, in order to reconcile why Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan would have both had to have made this akimta, so you have to say that they understood that the case of the Mishnah and the case of the Braisa were equivalent cases, because if one of them is talking about shnei kisim and one of them is kisach, and then the kasha doesn't start. So we have to make some sort of a kimta, and this is the kimta that the Gemara makes. So going back to the Mishnah, again, the Mishnah is talking about when somebody prepared doves that he's going to eat on Yantiv, and he comes on Yantiv, and he sees that the situation is not the way he left it. So a whole bunch of different cases. Sometimes we have to assume it's different birds, which is a problem, because that means it's going to be muktzah. Sometimes you don't have to assume it's different birds, and as a result, it's not going to be an issue. So the Mishnah said, B'teicha kan, let's say you prepared it inside the kan, right? That's the nest. That's where the birds actually live. U'matzah lefnei kan, and then you come, and you found them that they were in front of the Khan. So the halach is asurim, they're going to be asur, says the Gemara. Why would you assume that they're going to be asur? I mean, shouldn't we assume that these are just the same birds that you left inside the Khan, and they just walked outside, and that's why they're in front of the Khan right now? Why would you assume they're different birds? It must be. Because once you find them in a different place than you left them, we know the birds moved, so now you have to assume that maybe the birds didn't just move, they completely walked away, or they flew away, and as a result, those birds are gone. So now, where are these birds from? They could be anyone. Now, they could be the original birds, but they could also be any other bird. Go basurai. Call the parish, meruba parish. Most of the birds are not the original birds that you left. As a result, most of the birds are mukta, and it's for that reason it's going to be an issue. But essentially, what we're saying is you go basurai. But there is another way to look at it. There's another way to look at it. I know all the birds in the world, but at the same time, you left them in the can and you found them outside the can. They live next door. Shouldn't we assume that it's those? So the Gemara says, Leimo, Mesayeh, Le Rab Chanina, which seemed then that the Halach of the Mishnah, which sounds a little bit like a Chiddush, supports the Chiddush, Rab Chanina said, Rab Chanina said, Rav, Kolach, Achach, Rav, that if you have a face-off between Rav and Karev, you go Basar Rav. So all the birds in the world are Rav. The birds of the Khan are the Karev. So you see over here then, when it's a question of Rav and Karev, you go Basar Rav. Amr Abaye, Abaye said, Bedaf. Abaye said, no. The teretz over here is daf, which we saw briefly yesterday. And that means it's talking about where there were other birds that were also karev, because there was a platform of some sorts that was in front of the shayvach. And a lot of birds used to drezach there. And because of that, we assume that even though these birds are coming from somewhere else, doesn't necessarily mean they're coming from far away. They could be karev as well. So the birds that you're suspecting that these are number one, the Rav, they're also Karev. What do you mean they're Karev? They're here. These guys are Karev. How did these birds become Karev? No, because they used to drezach on the daf. So they're Karev and they're Karev. So they're both Karev and this one is the Rav. And that's why you go Basar Rav. Rav, my Rav said a different teretz. Rav said that you don't have to say, meaning Rav has no problem with Abaye's teretz, Rashi says. But Havai itzterich lashem inam. Rav says that Abaye's teretz is so poshut that you wouldn't even have to say, meaning if the case was where there was a daf and there were birds that used to be on the daf, and you come now and you see birds in front of the Khan, obviously you have no right to take these birds. There's so many birds in the area. How do you know which ones you're allowed to take? So Rava felt that the Kiddush of the Mishnah must be something that maybe we wouldn't have known otherwise. Rava said, no, what's going on over here is B'shnei Kinim, Zulamayim, Zulas Kinim. We're talking about where this person had two Kinim, and one was on top of the other, and he prepared the birds in one of the Kinim. He didn't prepare the birds in the other Khan. Okay, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that the Halach is that it's going to be a problem. Meaning, you prepared birds in one, and you didn't prepare birds in the other. Now you came back, and you found it in the other. You didn't find it in the one. And that's the question. So the question is, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, that's pashut. If you would have prepared the ones on the bottom, and you didn't prepare the ones on the top, that the halach is the asir, we would assume it's asir. You have to assume that the birds from on top that you didn't prepare, they work their way down. It makes sense for a bird to come down, and as a result, that's what it was. But even if you prepared the one on the top, you didn't prepare the one on the bottom. And you ended up finding birds on top, you didn't find birds on bottom. There too, we're going to assume the same thing. We're still going to assume it's asir. We're going to say, because the ones that you prepared maybe are gone, and these ones, they went up. Even though I guess you had to be there, it's less common for them to walk up than for them to come down. But at the same time, we're going to assume that's what happened, and therefore it's going to be a problem. But the point is, according to Rav, at least there's a little bit more of a chiddush. According to Abaye, there's no chiddush. According to Rav, there's a little bit of a chiddush, some long rashis here, and this is what the chiddush is. Then the Mishnah said that in the event that you prepared birds, you came back and the birds that you prepared were in the Khan, you found them in front of the Khan. So that lachas it's asa. However, if these are the only birds in town, then ancham elehem areil matar, then even these birds are going to be matzah. Zimara says, hey chidam, what kind of birds are we talking about? If these are birds that are a little more mature, they fly already. What do you mean? You know all the birds? Maybe they flew, and then these are new birds. Elebim medad. Maybe it's talking about where the birds, they weren't able to fly, they were only able to walk. So we're not dealing with birds that are able to fly. They're able only to walk very slowly, and as a result, that's why you're able to figure out a little bit what's going on. But the Gemara says, L'chura, I still don't know, understand the halacha of the Mishnah, because it could come between Chamisha Mama, Dudei Adadi. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Ven Einsham Elohim Areel Mutar. Meincham Elohim. That's like a very general statement. L'chura, we should drill down on this halach a little more specifically. If the Khan is within 50 amis, so then adadi. Within 50 amis, the Gemara says in different places, birds can travel to. So as long as there's other birds within 50 amis, there still is a concern that maybe it came from one of these other birds. If there's literally no bird within 50 amis, pshita de mutarim, then it's even pashit. So again, the Gemara is literally going after every single line in this sugya, every line in this Mishnah. But the Gemara says, again, Mamadavshach, if within 50 amis, then, and if it's within 50 amis, there's nothing, then it shouldn't be obvious. So the Gemara says, The Omer Mar Ukva, because Mar Ukva said, meaning we have a precedent for this already, that this is how much the birds travel. So the Gemara says, talking about where there was the other birds, so there was another Khan within 50 amas. However, the Khan in Karen's office. But that other Khan was in a corner. It was very hard to see. So what's the point? Mal I would have thought, so you would have thought that maybe it should be Aser, because there are other birds in the neighborhood. So maybe this is from the other birds. Kamash Malon, there's a Chiddush over here in Hilchis. This that we say a bird will travel sometimes up to 50 amas, that's only if it can see where it's coming from. So as long as it's in the rear view mirror, it sees its home, so then it's willing to go a certain distance. But if it can't see, then it won't. So here it's talking about where within 50 amas, there was a chashash that maybe a bird came from somewhere else, but it couldn't have gone and traveled this distance without losing sight of where it's coming from. So therefore, you would have thought that maybe it's problem because it's within 50 amas, kamash malon, that because it can't see its way, so therefore the halach is it's going to be mutter. New topic. Zok the Mishnah, Bishami, Yemi Bishami says, Ein noitlin nesa eli l'katzav al habasar. You're not allowed to take the pestle that was used to crush different foods, spices and garlic, to chop wood on. Beisil Matirin, Beisil says that it's going to be mutter. What's pshat in this Mishnah? So the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says two pshat, and we're going to speak at one, the one that we spoke at yesterday, and that is because this eli is something that you're not allowed to use for its ordinary purpose. Meaning, what was it used for? It was used to crush foods, things that you now do on Shabbos, and could be you can't even do on Yontif. As a result, it's a keli shemelachtoi le'iser. Beishamai holds, a keli shemelachtoi le'iser is mukta. You can't even use it for a davar mutter. So you want to now use this eli to chop wood on it? You can't, because at the end of the day, it's a keli shemelachtoi le'iser, it's not okay. Beisil matirim, Beisil says you're allowed to, because Beisil holds that a keli shemelachtoi le'iser is allowed to be used, l'tzayrach gufoi, and for that reason, you'd be allowed to use it. Beishamai says, ein noisin es ha'or lefnei adarsa. If somebody shechted an animal, which you're allowed to do on Yontif, and now you have the skin of the animal. So you're not allowed to put the skin in front of people so that these people will trample on the skin. Now, what people used to do after they shechted animals, they would take the hides and they would process them. They had value. They were used for different purposes. That's not something you're allowed to do on Yontif. The question is, can I at least take the hides, put it in front of the oilums like this, when they walk in and out, they'll end up hardening it. So like this, some tayelus is going to come from it. So Beishamai says you're not allowed to do it. That's something that is not allowed to be done. Now, it's not aser midiraisa, because midiraisa, I'm not really doing anything. However, it is something that's aser midirabanan. Rashi explained in yesterday's daf, because it looks a little bit like you're being ma'abed, like you're processing the hides, even though it's not directly what you're doing, so you can't flag me for being over an Issa Deiraisa, but at the same time, some level of Durabanon Ibud it is, and therefore Beis Shammai says it's not okay. Another thing Beis Shammai said was Loyak Bienu Elon Ken Yeshi Mikazayas Fasa. If somebody shechts an animal, now you have the R. So the R is Muktzah, unless there's a little bit of basar on it. So not only can't you put it in front of the darsim, but if it doesn't have a kazayas basar, it's going to be mukta, you can't even pick it up. Beisil matir, Beisil says, everything that we just said is going to be mukta. So the Mishnah said two halachas, and the Gemara is going to discuss them. So again, what was the first halach of the Mishnah? Beishnam ayoymim ein naitlin esa eli dekatz of alabas. You're not allowed to take the pestle and start hacking meat on it. Beisil matir, Beisil says you're allowed. The Zachim Aratani, we're going to the brayse of a shavim. Everybody agrees. Shem kitzav alav basar, sh'asal ataltoi. That once you already chop meat on it, everybody agrees you can't move it. Meaning, even Beisil that says that you're allowed to move this eli, it's only if you're moving it because you want to chop meat on it. But once you already chop the meat at that point, it's not going to be okay. What's the pshat? Because Beisil acknowledges that it's muktzah. It's a keli shemalach de'l'isr. Beisil just holds that you're allowed to be metaltol a keli shemalach de'l'isr. So if I need it to chop meat on, I'm allowed to be metalta. But once I already did what I need to do, shem kitzav olav basar, at that point, not metalta. Even Beisil is going to agree, they ain't allowed to care. I'm going to buy a bias and machloikis belly. Machloikis is dafka regarding an eli. That's what the Mishnah said. And that's what the machloikis was. Avo betavra garmi divri akomota. But if you want to take a chopping block, you want to take something that was used to break the bones of an animal, after you shechted it already. So if you want to take that kind of block, that's something that you would be allowed to carry. Why would you think Beishami holds not that way? Eli Tanan. Mishnah says Eli. It's pretty clear in the Mishnah what Beishami doesn't allow you to take. And the reason he doesn't allow you to take an Eli is because it's a Kelish Malachne Lesser. It's used for something that you're not allowed to do. This chopping block is a Kelish Malachne Lehetner. So why would you have a Havamina that Beishami would have a problem with it? And besides, It's not what the Mishnah says. The Gemara says, I would have thought that Beis Shammai has a problem even with the Taver Garmi. So why Beis Shammai, the Mishnah say Eli? The reason it said Eli was to teach me Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is the Koyach Teter in our Mishnah. That even the Dovash Malachtel Isser, even that is going to be Mutter. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that even the Tavra Garmi, according to Beis Shammai, is going to be okay. In other words, the Chiddush is that we had to speak out. The Braisa had to clarify this point that Machlokes Beis Shammai Basila was only regarding an Eli, but as it relates to this other chopping block, that is not going to be a problem. Now, what would have been the Havamina that to carry that chopping block would be an issue? So Rashi says that the Havamina that Beis Shammai would have been Machmer, even though again, it's not Muksa. So what would be the issue? The issue is one of the themes in these hard Gemaras that we're learning. And that is Beis Shammai seemed to have been concerned that if you're going to carry something, and there's a tzad that after you carry, you're not going to need it, maybe we don't let you carry it l'katchila. Because you end up doing a tircha shalei l'tzarech yantav. Just like Beis Shammai doesn't just let you take a bird, prepare it, and be masminted verbally before yantav, because maybe when you pick it up, you're not going to like the way it feels and looks, so you can end up not using it. So here too, there would have been a havamina that maybe that shouldn't be a problem. And that's the chiddush, that's what the Braisa felt it had to clarify, that Beis Shammai was only machmer by Kelu Shemalach De'Lehesa, but this is not something he was worried about. Ikad Amri, some had this a little bit different, that Amr Abaya, Abaya explained the Braisa, again, the Braisa that said that Beis Shammai is moida, that it's mutter, if you're using one of these boards that we use to hack the bones of the animal. In this Ella, afilo tavro garmi, one extra word chadate. The chiddush was that Beis Shammai is mekel, even if it's a new board. Ma'od the tema mimloch v'loy tavro alakamashmo. And then we understand the havamina a little bit better. It's the same havamina, but it has a little bit more oomph. Because being that you never used this board, so you would have thought that you're going to be mimlach v'loy tavro ala, you're going to decide that you don't want to use it. That's the chiddush kamash malon, that at the end of the day, Beis Shammai only said his halacha weir by an Eli, where it's a kelish malach de lisser, but as it relates to this, not. So let's just regroup for 1 second. Beis Shammai said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to take a kelish malach de lisser and be metaltalit litzoyrich guf. It's a major, major chiddush in Hilchas Mukta. We're not learning Hilchas Mukta now, we're learning Hilchas Yantif. But in the world of Mukta, this is a very, very big chiddush. What was the specific example? The example was, you want to take something that was used to crush different spices inside a mortar. You want to use it now to cut meat on top of. Beis Hillel says, why not? Kelish malach de lisser? Yeah, that just means I can't frivolously move it. But I'm moving it letzayrich gufa. Letzayrich gufa is going to be okay. Beis Shammai says, kelish malach de lisser, also letaltal, afilu letzayrich gufa. But the Braisa clarified. And the Braisa said that just understand that even Beis Shammai, he only had a problem taking this board because it's a Kelish Malach Delisser. But if you would have a board that's not a Kelish Malach Delisser, you want to carry it, even if it's big and it's heavy, it doesn't matter. You can move it. It's Litzor Chaychel Nefesh. Beis Shammai would have no problem with that. Why would you think Beis Shammai would have a problem? Because maybe after you move it, you're going to decide you don't want to use it. And this is something that you see Chazal was sensitive to. So therefore, there would have been a Havamina that maybe it's a problem. Kamashma, it's a problem. And by the way, in one Lishna Gemara, even if it's brand new, where there's a real chashash that that's going to happen, it doesn't matter, it's going to be fine, says the Gemara. In other words, Ube Shammai, loy chayshi lamuches. He's telling me that Beis Shammai is not worried that maybe a person's going to change his mind. Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa, Beis Shammai, Yerim Beis Shammai says, Eim olichin tabach v'sakin, eichno behemo. You're not allowed to take a tabach, you're not allowed to yank the butcher by the lapels and bring him to a behema. You're not allowed to take a sack, you're not allowed to take a knife to a behema either on yon. Play behema it's a tabach for sakin. And you're not allowed to take the behema to the tabach in the sakin. Bisul says, Melichin say it's a sack. You are allowed to do that. Another Allah. Bisham says, Melichin tavlin umadich it's a meducha. You're not allowed to take the spices and the madoich to the meducha. Right? You can't take all the utensils that you need to crush things on yontif to the meducha. And additionally, you can't take the spices to the pestle and the mortar. Basil says, it's not going to be a problem. So again, we know Malachas Eichel Nefesh is Mutar and Yantav. But Beis Shammai came and Beis Shammai said another big chiddush. We started the Masechta with 3 kulas in Beis Shammai. But by the time we're done, we're going to see a lot of chumras in Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai was very, very machmir Hilchas Yantav. So listen to this chumra. You're allowed to cook on Yantav, right? Oh, of course you're allowed to cook. But you want to bring the behemoth to the kitchen? Oh, that you can't do. Why not? Well, I'm allowed to cook. I can turn the stove on. You can't, but proverbially speaking, and this is something that I'm not allowed to do? What's the Hava mean I should be able to do this? The teretz is because you have to look at each detail individually. At the end of the day, you can't just start schwitzing for nothing on the other. You're schwitzing in the kitchen, Mamela. That's a tirchel tzarech. But shmoy tzarech you can't do. Beis Shammai is worried that the butcher's going to come. He's going to show up. He's going to take his knife out. He's going to be ready to do a shchita. A sheket yishonu b'mitzvayis of a tzivonu al hashchita. And then he's going to look and he's going to say, I'm not shechting this animal. I'm going to have milchiks today instead. This animal, I'm not eating this for yontif, right? So that's a concern. He doesn't want you taking the madrich and the meducha to the spices to the madrich and the meducha. But what do you see from it? You see that Beis Shammai was chayesh lamuch. It's a great thing tomorrow. Beis Shammai doesn't let you take the knife to the animal, but Beis Shammai allows you to carry this huge board, a brand new one. What's the difference? So the Gemara says that you have to say that the two are different. Hachi hash. Bishlame behema, asubam luche. Bishlame the behema, you're going to take the behema, you're going to bring it to the balabusta, and they're all going to decide they don't want this behema. Doma nishbekai behema, kuch maisi the behema, akriti the shminimim. I want better, more zaftige behema. Kateir nami the pad also. Asubam luche, doma nishbekai kateir, the boy tavlo maisi, not greedy, like boy tavlo. They're going to decide you want a different kateir, you want different spices. What are you worried about over here? Mimlech voloi tavar? You think that after you already shechted the animal, you're not going to start hacking the bane of this animal? Keeping the shacht to your cat. Once you shechted, you have no choice. You need to hack the bones. You shechted it already. So at this point, this is the ship sailed. And as a result, we're not concerned that you're going to change your mind. And it's for that reason, Beis Shammai over here held, you don't have to be hard. It says, Beis Shammai chayesh lam luchi or not chayesh lam luchi? It depends. He doesn't have a sheet that you can apply broadly across every single case. Right, you have to look at each individual cases as relates to the behem and the tavel, and there Beis Shammai was chayesh lam luchi. But as relates to over here, cutting the bones of the animal, he was like chayesh lam luchi. Beis Shammai said, ein Nois the Nesar. So moving to the Sefer of the Mishnah, whole new case. Beis Shammai said that after you shecht an animal, you're not allowed to take the ur of the animal and put it in front of people like this, they could trample on it. Additionally, you're not allowed to pick up the ur unless they had a kazayas baser. Beisil Matirim, Beisil said that both of these things are going to be mutl. But the first of the last two things, Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to take the ur and put it in front of people to allow them to trample on it. Again, just to be clear, you're not allowed to process hides on Yontif. It's not a melech seichel nefesh. And as a result, it's not something that you're allowed to do. The question is, b'derech grum of some sorts, can I put it in front of people? Let the people harden it a little bit. It's like this, and won't go bad. Now, the tzad that you should be able to do it is because otherwise, it's going to go bad. And as we'll see in the Gemara, there's actually a svara that the Gemara alluded to a little bit in yesterday's daf, that if you don't let me do it, I might not shecht my animal. Because I'm not going to go shecht an animal, make this big yontif suda, and then I'm going to lose out thousands of dollars of R because of the fact that you didn't allow me to figure out some sort of etza to process it. So, Bezos had a koyach that teira in this whole shmooze. Beis Shammai was machmas. Zok the Gemara tana, a braisa, v'shamin shemochan ala basal etzle. That if you want to wink wink, baharama, when you salt the animal, salt it on top of the ur, that's something that you would be allowed to do. So we know that after you shecht an animal, you have to do malicha. If you don't do malicha, you're not allowed to eat the animal. The reason you do malicha is because the malicha takes the dam out of the meat of the animal. That's what allows you to eat. If you eat meat without salting it, it's geferlach. You're over the iser dam, it's a chavi krisa, it's very, very serious. So what you need to do is you have to first do malicha. So the Braisa said that even Beis Shammai, who's hypersensitive to not allowing you to do anything to these hides, but at the same time, shoven, shemochen ala baslitz, that after you shechted this animal, if you want to roast the animal, you're going to have to do malicha. You can salt the animal for the purpose of roasting it, on top of this hide, even though it means that the hide on some level is going to end up being processed. Now, Omer Abaya commented on the braisa, said, Loishanu el litzli. This is only true if you plan on roasting the meat. Aval ikteir, if you plan on cooking the meat, loina. What's the difference between roasting and cooking? So this is a yeridaya difference. You need to use a lot more salt when you cook than you have to use when you roast. The point is, Abaya said the braisa allowed, even according to Beis Shammai, for you to use a little bit of salt. But he didn't let you use a lot of salt. So if you're preparing the meat for tzli, the melech that you're going to use is a shtazayfil melech, so that's something you're allowed to do. If you're preparing it to cook, you're going to use a lot more melech, therefore it's going to be an ish. Afraid the Gemara, on Abaya Pshita, Litzli Tanan. I mean, why would you have thought not that way? I mean, the Braisa said, Vishavin, that everybody agrees that you're allowed to use it for Litzli. So why would you have thought? Nah, it's the Abaya said, and I'll tell you, I'm clarifying Hokamashman Afil Litzli. Abada means Sli. That's what the Braisa said. That if, let's say, you're using it for Tzli, but you decided you're going to have some from a share of how much melech you want to use, so you can use the amount of salt that a person would usually use for cooking, Asr, the halacha is, it's going to be Asr. More halachas related to this topic. Tanravam, Ein Molchin Esachalava. You now let a salt. Chalavin. So you're not allowed to salt the fat, that's the part of the animal that you're not allowed to eat. So you're allowed to salt food on Yantif. You're even allowed to salt it in a major way, the type of salt that you use to kasher the meat. So that's something that you're allowed to do. However, the chalavim are the fats of the animal that you're not allowed to eat. So the fats of the animal that you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to salt, because being that I'm not allowed to eat it, so there's no tayalas in salting it. It's not considered a melech tzeichel nefesh. Additionally, ve'ein mehapchem behen. You're not even allowed to move it around. It's mukta. So to be mehapch would mean to at least move it maybe to a windier area where it's not so sunny. You know, so at least let it breathe. It's like, this is not going to go back. So number one, you can't salt it. Number two, you can't even mehapch. Shem Rebishu, I'm in the name of Rebishu, they said, shoytchem beruch agab yaseidus. He wasn't so machmer. He said that if you want, you can put it on pegs, let it sit out in the wind. It's like this, at the very least, you're not going to lose the chalavim. By the way, what are you going to do with the chalav? You're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to have anah from it. Chalav is asa b'achila, but it's mutar b'hanah. So because it's mutar b'hanah, so therefore we're having this conversation. You want to save it, because you're allowed to bet if you can't have anah from it, so whatever. But being that you're allowed to have anah from it, it's not oichel nefesh, because he can't eat it. So the question is, can I do something on Yontif to try to save it? Again, you're shechting on Yontif. There are parts of this animal that are oichel nefesh, but then there's things that are not oichel nefesh. So what do I do with everything else? I just let it go by the wayside? Beis Shammai takes a very strong position with all this. Beis Hillel had a koyach that teira, and Beis Hillel was a little bit more makel. So again, so Rabbi Yeshua said that even though you don't salt it and you're not mahapach, but shaytchem beruach agab yisayin. So Amr Masna, Rabbi Masna said, Allah Rabbi Yeshua, Allah Rabbi Yeshua. Ikad Amri, Amr Masna, ain't Allah Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, two very different opinions. Bishlam and the Malach Rabbi Yeshua. Bishlam and the says Malach Rabbi Yeshua. It's direct. I understand why Rabbi Masna says Malach Rabbi Yeshua. Why? Because I would have thought Yochiv Rabbi Malach Rabbi. It's Rabbi Yeshua against the Chachamim. So you would have thought we pass like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Yeshua. Come Ashmalon Halacha Yochiv. That's why we need to know that Halacha is Rabbi Yeshua. Elamanda Ein Halacha Pshita. But according to the version that Rabbi Masna came into Beis Yisrael, he said, "Chaver, I want you to know that Halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua. Of course, that Halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua. Meaning, why would you think it is like Rabbi Yeshua? Pshita Yochiv Rabbi Malach Rabbi." Now, if Rabbi Yeshua was arguing with Rabbi Eliezer, yeah, that's a whole different conversation. But the Gemara assumes Rabbi Yeshua over here wasn't arguing with his Bal Plukten Shas, but he's arguing with everybody. In Molchen as a Chalovin, Vein Mahapchim, Yishum Rabbi Yeshua, as a Das Yochid of Avar Feneshita, Rabbi Yeshua. So it's Rabbi Yeshua against the world. Of course we don't pass like Rabbi Yeshua. So if the Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, yeah, I need Rabbi Masna to tell me the Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. But if the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua, isn't it obvious? So the Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Because Mal Dutema, I would have thought, Mistaber, Time with the Rabbi Yeshua. It's Mistaber Rabbi Yeshua. And you find this sometimes in Halacha. That even though Yachid V'Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim, but you have to read the fine print, where it's Mistaber Time with the Yachid over the Rabbim, the Halacha can be like the Yachid. And that's why in our sugya, we need to know that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is actually a little more reasonable. And it's more intuitive. Why? Because the Eloi Sharasleh, because what's Rabbi Yeshua going to tell you? You're not going to let the person save his fat. He's going to not shecht in the air. He's going to lose too much money. He's not going to do it. Kamashman. Therefore, you would have thought Mistaber Tamid Rabbi Yeshua. And that's why, even in the Ikadami, Ramah status say, in Allah to Rabbi Yeshua. Says the Gemara, Umayshnar, Mayshnar, Me'or Lifnei Hadarsa. If we have this opinion that Beis Hillel said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to take R and you're allowed to put it in front of the Darsan. You're allowed to put it in front of the people, let them trample on. Now we said that really it's a problem. What's the problem? So it wasn't clear what the problem is, but on some level it looks a little bit like you're processing these hides. That's what Bishama says, you can't do it. Beis Hillel let you do it. And the reason Beis Hillel let you do it is because at the end of the day, the Gemara is assuming right now, Beis Hillel held that if you're not going to let the person save his hide, he's going to end up not shechting, and he's going to end up being meineh from Simchas Yontif. So if that's the case, why don't we make the same cheshbon regarding the fats? Again, if this is something we were a little bit more familiar with, it would be such an obvious question. You're shechting an animal. Okay, I'm allowed to eat the meat. This chalavim I can't eat. This skins that I can't have any anah from. These things are going to go bad. Basil gave me a tikkun for the skin. The fat, let them go bad. If you're trying to make sure that the person does what he needs to do for Simchas Yontif, and therefore we're coming up with an eitzah for him to save the Ar of his animal. So why don't we also do the same thing for the Chelev? And if we don't care about the Chelev, why do we care about the Ar? Right? Such an obvious question. What's the difference between the two things? So the Gemara says the difference is Hasam Lay Mukha Milsa Mishum the Chazila Mizgalah. In the case of the skin, Basil doesn't have a problem because Basil says, even though it's true what you're doing is not so proper, but it doesn't look so bad. The optics are not bad. Because what does it look like? It looks like you have a new mat for Yontif. Now the mat happens to be the skin of this putter that you just slaughtered, but whatever. At the same time, that's what it looks like. And because that's what it looks like, it doesn't look so bad. So therefore, it's an Eitzah. But Hach, over here, Asa Lameimer, over here, what are you going to do? You're going to start playing around with the fats. You know, people are going to say, my time is Shaul Rabbanon. People are, why did Rabbanon allow me to do this? Because they want to make sure that it doesn't go bad. What's the difference if I spread it out? What's the difference if I salt it? Either way, people are going to start salting the chalav, and right, it's going to start coming to a situation where you're going to do things that you're not supposed to do. When you stop put it out in front of your house, it looks like you got a new rug. However, if you start playing around with the chalav, it's going to look like Chazal allow you to do whatever you need to do. And if you're going to start doing whatever you need to do, you may end up salting it as well. You may end up doing things that you're not allowed to do. And therefore, over there, Basil was worried. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Meileach Adam Kamach Hatiches Basar Bivas Achas Af Apisha Einu Tzarech Elal. You just shechted an animal. You want to eat one piece of meat. So l'chura, I'm allowed to salt the piece I need. I'm not allowed to salt all the other ones. But if I could do it in one swoop, one salting, I cannot get a bunch of chatichas, that's going to be okay. Rav Adar Bar Hava, marim umalach garma garma. Rav Adar Bar Hava had one of the oldest tricks in the book. So what he used to do is he would say, I'm going to eat this piece of meat. He would salt it. Then he would say, nah, you know something, I'm going to eat the other piece of meat. And then after he had that, he said, you know something, I'm going to eat the third one. And by the time he was done, he ended up salting the entire animal. And he didn't do it in one shot. He did it garma garma. He did it literally one piece of flesh at a time. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Bisham, says, in mesalkin as a tris in the yontif. You're not allowed to remove shudders on Yontif. Beisil says, not only is a mutter, but aflahachsa. Not only could you take it down, you could even put it back up. So right away, my treason, what are these treason? Amar Ula said, treesi chanuyas. These were the shudders of stores. So we're talking about somebody that needs to buy food on Yontif. Or at the very least, he needs to go to someone that has a geshef. Now you have to work out the payments, but the point is, but derech mutter, you're going to end up trying to take something. Rashi says tavlin, but whatever it is, you want to take from somebody. So you now go to your neighbor who has this chanus, and you ask him, "Can I have some spices?" If my problem is my whole place is shuttered up, so am I allowed to remove the shutters to give you some food? Or am I not allowed to remove the shutter? So Shammai says no. Emes alkin es atris miyantiv. Basil says not only could you remove it, but you're even allowed to put it back up. Now, why would you think that you're not allowed to move it? The Gemara is going to talk about it more. But why would you think you're not allowed to do it? Because it's soiser. It's one of the Lamatas Malachas. You can't just go ahead and be soiser. Why would you think you could do it? So, number one, you're dealing with Kalim. The Gemara already said on yesterday's daf, Bisul holds Ein Binyan Vestir B'Kalim. But what the Gemara is going to say in today's daf is there's another thing to factor. And that is you're doing it for Simchas Yontif. And because you're doing it for Simchas Yontif, so it's for that reason we're going to try to find an angle to try to be Mekel. So Beis Shammai says it's not okay. Beis Hillel says it is okay. And not only is it okay, it's okay Lahachsa. Now, Ula made an Ekimta and he said we're talking about Teresa Chanuyos. What does he mean to say? He means it's only then that Beis Hillel allows you to do it. But if this is not Teresa Chanuyos, even Beis Hillel is going to say, I mean, Beis Hillel has an issue over here. There is some sort of issue. But because it's a store and because they sell things and because it's something that you need, it's for that reason we're going to be a little bit Mekel. Zok to Gemara, V'amar Ula. Interesting Gemara. Shalai Shadvar Metiru Saifa Meshum Chilasan. There are three things that Chazal allowed you to do on Yontif, even though really these are things that you should not be allowed to do. But they allowed you to do this because if not, you're not going to do something that you really need to do. The Elohim, these are the three things. Ar lifnei hadarsan. Beisul shita. Beisul says you're allowed to take the ar, you're allowed to put it in front of the darsan. Really, Beisul would have agreed to Beis Shammai, there's a little bit of an issue. You shouldn't be able to do it. But the reason they allowed you to do it is because if you're not going to take the ar and put it in front of the darsan, you're not going to shach the animal, you're going to end up losing Simchas Yontif. So, being that they wanted to make sure that you're going to have Simchas Yontif, so they said, take the ar, put it in front of the darsan. Like this, we're confident you're going to have what you need for Simchas Yontif. Vitrisei chanuyos. Another thing they allowed you to do was tris hachanus. Beis Hillel said, not only are you allowed to take the tris down, but you're allowed to put the tris back up. Why would you be allowed to put it back up? Bishlam, I'm taking it down, that's Simchas Yontif. But putting it back up, because if you don't let me put it back up, I'm not taking it down. I'm not going to let my store be exposed over Yontif. So therefore, they were matter soifam mishum chilasan. And finally, v'chazaras retia v'mikdash. So we're talking about a kayin who has a retia. He has some sort of wound, and he has a bandage that's around his wound. He needs to do the avoida. He can't do the avoida if he has a bandage. Let's assume the bandage was on his hand. If it's on your hand, you wouldn't be able to hold the klisharis, you wouldn't be able to hold the dam, because it would be a chatzitza. So as a result, you wouldn't be able to do the avoid. So what we allow you to do is number one, we allow you to take it off. That's not the chiddush. The chiddush is we allow you to put it back on afterwards. Now, putting a bandage on Yontif, Shabbos, is something really you're not supposed to do. But the reason we allow you to do it is because we don't let you put it back on, you're not going to take it off. And therefore, it's okay. What would be the problem putting a bandage on, by the way? Refuah b'Shabbos. That's Silcha Shabbos. Simen Shin Chav Ches. Refuah b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to take medication on Shabbos and Yontif, so this is a problem as well. So because of Refuah b'Shabbos, it would have been an issue. So again, we allow the person to put it back on, because if we don't allow you to put it back on, you're never going to take it off. Rechav Omar, Rav Chaba said, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, that he said that Rabbi Yehuda, Afa Pesach, Chavisu, Maschal, Bisosoy, Agabi, Regav, Alibid, Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Yegba. He said, I have another example. And his example was that Rabbi Yehuda said that the halach is, if somebody has food and an Amaretz touches it, it's Becheskas Tomina. Even Chulin, there were people that didn't eat chulin unless it was tahar. So if an amaretz touched the chulin, it's considered tamei. And as a result, someone that's careful that he only eats his chulin b'tahira would not be allowed to eat it. Stating that, Chazal said a very, very big chiddush. They said on yontif, all the amei aretz are becheskas tahar. So if an amaretz would touch your food on yontif, the halach is, you're a chaver, it's fine, you'd be allowed to eat it. Even though I only eat my chulin b'tahira, but on yontif, the amaretz is becheskas tahar. There was machlekes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. What happens if an Amaretz touches food on Yontif, and now it's not Yontif anymore? So do we assume that being that when the Amaretz touched it, it was Yontif, then he was Becheskes Tyra, so it's the same Amaretz who touched it then. If it was kosher and tahar yesterday, why shouldn't it be tahar today? Stating that, Chachamim disagreed. Chachamim say that on Yontif, you can rely on this Chazaka. But once it's not Yontif anymore, at that point, you're not allowed. What's Rav Yehuda's Shita? Again, Afa Pisea Chavisoi. If someone opens up a chavis on Yontif, or he was maschal b'sasa, he started selling his dough on Yontif, al gav regel, the halach is, Rabbi Yehuda sheet is yigmar, that you're allowed to continue selling it at the hayra even after Yontif. Said Rechava, why does Rabbi Yehuda allow you to do this? He was matas soifai mishum tchilasa, because Rabbi Yehuda was afraid that if I wouldn't allow you to finish selling it, that what would happen is on Yontif, somebody would come and he would say, you know, I need a little bit of wine. Sorry, I'm not selling the wine. I'm going to open up the wine, and Amaretz is going to touch it by mistake, and then all my wine is going to be tummy after Yontif. I'm not interested. I'm not going to sell it to you. People are going to lose out on Simchas Yontif. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said, Soifa Mishum Tchilasai. He said the same exact halacha. Bottom line is, Ula said, Shloisha Dvar Mitiru Soifa Mishum Tchilasan. Rabbi Yehuda added a fourth. So the Gemara now is going to go through each one. Ar Lefnei Hadarsan. So what was the first one? Ar Lefnei Hadarsan. It still says that you're allowed to take Ar, you're allowed to put it in front of the Darsan, even though really it shouldn't be a problem. But because Simchas Yontif allows you to do it. Fedi Mar Tanina, it's a Mishnah. Meaning, I agree with Ula, but it's a Mefurish Mishnah. Why would have you... What's Ula being Mechadish? I mean, Ula is making a nice recap, but... That's not what Amiram do. He's saying a chiddush. There's no chiddush Ula saying. We know Beisul Shita that you're allowed to take the Ari, allowed to put it in front of the Darsan. So what was Ula being mechadish? So the Gemara says, no, I would have thought Amir the Beisul Mishum the Chazil the Mizgah alive. I feel the mayor of Yontif Nami, Kamash 1. No, Ula was saying a huge chiddush. You don't see in the Mishnah that the halacha that you're allowed to take the Ari of Nea Darsan, that wasn't Ula's chiddush. What Ula was saying was the reason behind the halacha, and there's an afkamin al halacha, is Pshana Beisil, because Beisil just doesn't even think there's a problem with taking Ar and putting it in front of the Darsan, or is Pshana Beisil really there is a problem, but he allows you to do it because they were mata soifa mishum tchilasa. L'may nafkamina, is it only mutter if I did it, shechted the animal on Yontif, or is it mutter even if I shechted the animal before Yontif? If it's soifa mishum tchilasa, it's only mutter if I shechted the animal on Yontif. But if it's because there is no problem, like what's the issue, then it would be mutter even if I did it erev Yontif. So by Ula saying, shloisha dvar mitir soifa mishum tchilasa, and the first one is arlof ne'adarsam, that means the only time the arlof ne'adarsam is going to be okay is if you shechted it on Yontif, but if you shechted erev Yontif, it's not going to be okay. That's the chiddush, that it's because of yitir soifa mishum tchilasa. The Yontif in, and if that's the case, only if you shechted on Yontif, the erev Yontif loy, but if you shechted an erev Yontif, it's not going to be okay. What was the second thing Ula said? Chazal wa mata soifa mishum tchilasai. Turi seicha nuyos. Tris the Chanois. Beis Hillel says, not only are you allowed to take the tris down, you're even allowed to put it back on. Now, taking the tris down, I understand. But putting it back up, what heter is there to do that? So what did Ula say? Oh, they were not the seifa mishum chilas. Beis Hillel said, you're allowed to put it back on. Again, the halacha that Ula is saying is not a chiddush. It's Beis Hillel's words. So what exactly is he being moist? The Gemara says, again, the same teretz. I would have told the Beis Hillel mishum they binyan kelim v'stir b'kelim. I would have told the Pshan Beis Hillel is because there's no binyan and stir at all over here. You have nothing to worry about. So if that's the case, I feel about the nami. So it's not dafka the trise chanuyos, but it would really be true for all trisim. Kamash Malan, that's what Ula was saying. He tira soifim mishum tchilasan. It's all based on Simchas Yontif, and therefore the only time you can be machzer it is the chanuyos in the bottom line. It's only the chanuyos, it's not going to be true for the bottom. What was the third example that Ula gave? Chazaras retia the mikdash. A kohen that has a bandage, so he has to take the bandage off if he wants to do the avoida. We allow him to put it back on, even though that would cancel the refuah b'shabbos, which is something ordinarily you'd not be allowed to do. But we're afraid if we're not going to let the person put the bandage back on, he's not going to take it off. This is a Mishnah. Now, this is not a Mishnah here on our daf. This is a Mishnah in Masechtas Erevin, the very, very end of Masechtas Erevin. But either way, Machzir and Retiyah and Mikdash Avalei Medina, you're allowed to replace the Retiyah on Shabbos and Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash. You just can't do it in the Medina. But you see in the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to do it. So again, what was Ula being Mechadish? So the Gemara says a similar terrace. I would have thought that the reason you're allowed to do it is because the whole Isser Refuah B'Shabbos is a Shvos. So I would have thought the reason it's more than the Beis HaMikdash is because Chazal in general were much more lenient when it came to Shvusim in the Beis HaMikdash. Not always, but most cases. So I would have thought, I feel a kohen to love avoid the Nami. So I would have thought that even a kohen that's not doing the avoid, as long as you're in the Beis HaMikdash, it's okay. Kamash Malon. The only reason they allow you to put the retiv in mikdash is because otherwise we're afraid it's going to mess up the avoida. And if that's the case, the bar avoida in, only a kohen that does the avoida is allowed to do it. But the lat mar avoida loy, but a kohen that doesn't do the avoida would not be allowed to do it. And finally, Rechava added another case. What was the final case? Rabbi Huda holds that an amoretz that touches your food on yontif, so the halach is on Yontif, it's considered to be tar. Even after Yontif, it's considered tar. And this is another example of a tira seifa mishum chilasa. Because otherwise, you're never going to open up the chavis on Yontif because you're going to be afraid that too much of it you know is going to be left over for after Yontif. And if after Yontif, it's going to be a tameh, so you may not want to open it. Afraid to gemar. This is also a mishnah. And this is a Mishnah Masechtas Chagiga, Biseches Chavisoi, if someone opened up a Chavis on Yontif, Maschel B'Sosoi, Al Gav HaRegel, or you started selling your dough on Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda Amrita says Yigmar, you're allowed to continue selling it after Yontif, Beches Kastar, even if an Amaretz touch, even though an Amaretz is considered to be Tameh, but it's only on Yontif. It's only not, but being that he touched it on Yontif, it's not going to be an issue. Chamin said, "But Yigmar, no, you're not going to finish selling it on Yontif itself. That's when it's considered to be tarbut. After Yontif, not. So again, it's a Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So what are we adding? So the Gemara says we're adding because Malutim. I would have thought Tumas Amaretz Beregel Kitairo Shavur Rabban. I would have thought Pshana Rabbi Yehuda is not a Tiru Seifa Mishum Chilasa, but maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds more of a lumbus. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Amaretz on Yontif is tahar, so it doesn't matter what he touches. He can touch anything, meaning." Even if you didn't start selling it, it's going to be mutter. Kamash Malon, then no. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Amaretz really is tummy. There's a chiddush that when he touches something on Yontif, it's tar. Rabbi Yehuda added to the chiddush, and he said that even if you have leftovers, it's still tar, because we want to make sure that you don't think about leftovers and you just give the oilam whatever they need for their simchas Yontif. But it's only because he tiru soifa mishum tchilasan, because we're afraid that if you're not going to make this kula, you're going to end up with a problem. But the point is, hischalin loy hischalay, but if you didn't open it, in that case, it's going to be a problem. Faith to Gemara. So Ula had three examples of Itiru Soifa Mishum Chilasam. When Chazal would mati you to do something, even though really it doesn't make sense, you should be allowed to do it. Why Mishum Chilasam? What were the three cases? Arlef Nehadarsam, Trisei Chanuyos, Chazaretz Retiyah B'Mikdash. Then Rechava added that I have another example. What's my example? According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a fourth. Afraid to Gemara, Ula my time of Yom HaHar. Why did Ula mention Rabbi Yehuda? It's a Mishnah. He didn't know the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, B'plukta Loi Kamayri. Because Ula wasn't getting involved in halachas that are totally in a machlokes. He wanted to say three things that everybody agrees with. You can start getting totally in machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham, and Freit the Gemara, Rabbi Nishalayim, Hanach Nami plucked in it. Everything we mentioned is a machlokes. What's not a machlokes over here? It's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? All three of the cases, or at least some of them, were machlokes in. So you have the case of Arlef Ne'adars and Trisi Chanuyas. These were machlokes in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So isn't that also a machlokes? And the Gemara says a very important yesoid, that's Nogeya, Klali Apsak, Not for today. Beishamay b'makim beisul ain't a mishnah. When you have a machayu shamay beisul, that's not called a plukta. Beishamay shita almost doesn't count. When in the view, Rabbi Huda Chachamim is a machloikis. Shem Bissel is not considered a machloikis. So even though, but plukta like kamairi, that means a real machloikis. A machloikis where there's two tzadim, where you can hear this way, you can hear that. We don't pass like Bishamai. So because we don't pass like Bishamai, it's in a Mishnah. It's so much not a shita in halacha. It's in a Mishnah. It's as if it doesn't even exist. It's a fascinating idea. Bishamai Malkim Bissel in a Mishnah, if you think about it a little bit, just from a philosophical, from a theological perspective, it's very, very interesting for another day. Sok the Gemara, just to finish, Masis and Leik Haitana, our Mishnah is not like the following time. Tanya will to the Bryce, Umrah, Shimon, Allah, Shimon, Allah, said, Maidim, Shimon, Bissel, Bisham, Bissel, Bolt, Maidim, Shimon, Salkin, Satriz, and Yantam. Then your ladder removed the trees and Yantam. Lenechko, El Lahax, the Machlaikas was only if your ladder returned. Bisham, Ebim, Emachs, Bisham said, you're not allowed to put it back on. Bissel, Emach, Machsirin, and they still said, you are allowed to put it back on. So again, what was the Machlaikas, Bisham, Bissel? In our Mishnah, Beishamai says you're not allowed to remove the shutters on Yantiv. Beisul said you can remove it and you can put it back on. So what's the machloikis? It's twofold. Can I take it down? A. B. Can I put it back on? Shimon Allah said the machloikis was only if I could put it back on. Everyone agrees you're allowed to take it down. Simchas Yantiv. The shaila was putting it back on. Are we matter seifa mishum tchilasan? Or are we not matter seifa mishum tchilasan? But clearly our Mishnah is the like Rab Shimon ben Elazar. Says the Gemara. Additionally, when is this machloikis b'sham b'sil about taking it down or putting it back on? Is b'sheish lemtzir. That's only if this tris had a bolt. Aval in lemtzir, if there was no bolt, divrei hakol mutter. Everybody agrees mutter. If there's a bolt, so it's a real steerer, it's a real binyan, meaning the shutter it plugs into the sides. So as a result, there's an issue. But if there's no bolt, so it's just there, it's standing there. But removing it doesn't mean unlocking it, so to speak. So in that case, everyone's going to agree it's mutter. The Gemara, is that true? Vatanya, we learned in the Brisa just the opposite. So the machlokes was dafka with there's no bolt. If there's a bolt, everyone's going to hold it's aser. It's literally 180 degrees. It's mamish the opposite. I'm Rabbi, so what Rabbi say? There's different types of bolts. If there's bolts, minatzad, which means bolts on top and bolts on bottom, you have on top and on bottom, everyone's going to agree it's awesome. That's like a real binyan v'stira. If there's no bolts at all, everyone's going to agree it's mutter. Where there was not on top and on bottom, but there was one bolt and it was on the side. One mandamar was worried about tzir be'emtza, otu tzir minatzad. Who was that mandamar? Shammai, Marsov, Legazrin, and Bissul said, I'm not worried, and as a result, it's going to be Mutter.